Ramsey TV.
I'm not out to diss anyone's church. I'm not out to diss the people. I'm not out to say that the people are bad. I am out to say, for some reason, it is in those places where this false information about a God who is scrambling, who is reacting to evil in his universe, hoping to salvage something from a plan that went awry. That's what I hate. That's what I hate. I hate God being called a foolish builder whose universe got away from him because he didn't anticipate. He didn't anticipate Satan in the Garden of Eden. He didn't anticipate the entrance of evil into the world. That's what I hate. I hate it. But why? That's not taught in the bar. This God as a failure. God as a failure. That is not taught in bars. That is not taught in strip clubs. That is not taught at the racetrack. That is not taught where people watch football or basketball or have fun or... That's not taught there. Why is it that that is taught in these places, in these institutions? It's because there is a giant deception afoot that would discredit God. I will say this. We do have an adversary for now. And there's a verse, I think it's in Acts, speaking of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the writer of Acts, Luke says, this thing was not done in a corner. Maybe it was Paul said that to King Agrippa in Caesarea. He said, I'm aware, King Agrippa, Paul says when he was on trial for his life, I'm aware that you know about these things I speak of. You know about this Jesus who came and was the king of the Jews, and was crucified and rose from the dead. King Agrippa, Paul says, you know these things because this thing was not done in a corner. How is it that John the Baptist could announce, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that the stated purpose of the Son of God was to be the ultimate sacrifice that dealt with the sins of Israel? Even the primitive sins of Israel were dealt with by the Lamb. Got rid of their sins for another year. And now Jesus Christ came and he got rid of them permanently. He was the ultimate Lamb. So Satan, get into our adversary's mind for a second now. This thing wasn't done in a corner. The victory was so obvious that Paul says that the cross openly despoiled Satan and the principalities and powers of darkness, and it made a show of them openly. The cross of Christ, the 6 hours of suffering, unimaginable suffering of Jesus Christ, what that did was, once and for all time, it saved the entire human race. It was the means by which God will eventually reconcile the entire universe to himself. And Satan knew that a death blow had come to his kingdom. And he knew what the Christian world doesn't know, that it's done. It is finished. Satan knows what that means. The religious world doesn't, and this is why. Because on that day, Satan devised a plan. He couldn't do anything to change the fact because it was not done in a corner. And the fact was that this Christ, you know, if you were standing at the cross and you were looking up at him, there were 2 or 3 people around there at the end. It was a terrible day, terrible day. It was just a nightmare. There's his mother weeping. Just horrible. And if you're on earth looking at it, it's the most grim, hopeless, depressing spectacle you can imagine. And yet, in the heavens, different story in the heavens. Because all eyes are on the cross of Christ. All celestial eyes, by the myriad, the billions, trillions, innumerable celestial eyes watching, and they know what is happening. And they know that the death blow has come to the dark kingdom. It was obvious to them, obvious to Satan. What can he do? That's it. It's too obvious. It's done. It's it. What can he do? Well, I will tell you, and I'm not making this up. Beware of your adversary, Satan, for he goes about as a roaring lion seeking, that's 1 Peter, seeking who he will destroy. And Paul says to beware of the stratagems of the adversary. That's the actual word in the Concordant Literal New Testament from Ephesians 6. Beware of the stratagems of the adversary. This is that part in the scripture you're probably familiar with it, the armor of God. The armor of God. Put on the armor of God, right? Why? Why put on the armor of God? To protect you from stratagems. That's a unique word. We don't hear that word much. But listen to this. You look that up in the Greek, and it's a trick. It's a lie. A stratagem has within it the kernel of deceit and deception. Jesus Christ, I believe it's John 8:44, says, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Keep this in mind. He's a liar, the father of lies. All he can do is lie. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God to protect you from the fiery arrows of the adversary. The adversary has nothing but pyrotechnics. He cannot do anything to wreck what happens at Calvary. He has one tool left and only one tool. There's only one thing you need to fear from Satan. You need not fear a frontal attack. You need not fear getting sick or dying or something happening to your loved ones or getting in a car wreck. All these things are planned of God. God is in control of everything. Satan cannot pull a fast one and do something to you that God doesn't want for your life for a certain purpose. But this is what he can do. And I'm warning you. I'm warning everyone listening to my voice. The only thing you need protected from is not from Satan's frontal attacks, but from his lies. Because he is a genius liar. A genius liar. Because he knows that he cannot deny what happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. But you know what he can do? He can lie about it. He can distract from it. He can make sure that nobody goes there to see it. He can put dry ice in front of it so that it's clouded. He can turn on his smoke machine so that it's clouded. He can build a competing tabernacle over here. He can build a competing force. And as you come to the cross, as you come to see what happened at the cross, Satan is out there with a pamphlet. You don't want to see this. Very friendly, very nice, very hospitable. He's got a donut and a cup of coffee and a hug and a brochure and an invitation. And he's got a nice song for you. And he's got love for you. And he will love bomb you. And he says, you don't want to see that. That was a long time ago. That was hard. That was rough. What you want to do is we have a nice little organization over here that you will get what you need. And so he builds a competing tabernacle. And this is just what happened in the days of Moses. The people didn't like Moses. He was too tough. He was too rough. So the sons of Korah built a competing tabernacle. You don't like Moses? Come to our church. We have a better, we're nicer than Moses. I believe it's also in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says that I'll put the verse on the video. I don't know it offhand, but he has systematized the deception. Okay, I called him a liar. It's all he's got. It's the father of lies. He has fiery arrows. It's all pyrotechnics. It's the Wizard of Oz. Really, this Satan is the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, they're just trembling in front of the big green head. I am the great and powerful Oz. And they're scared to death. The Cowardly Lion jumps out the window. He's so scared. Come to find out later in the movie, this little old man behind a curtain, insecure, power mad, got nothing but some controls, a smoke machine, a loudspeaker. That's all fake. But it's so damn real. And what I'm telling you is that the deception has been systematized. Satan has built a competing, this is shocking, Satan has built a competing tabernacle to compete with the cross of Christ. And it is, prepare yourselves, the Christian religion. Christianity was not called Christianity until around 300 AD when Constantine, Emperor of Rome, made Christianity, as it was then dubbed, the official religion of the empire. Kind of like the official beer of the Super Bowl, the official taco chip of the Olympics, whatever. And at that point, this became an organization. This became a competing tabernacle. And Satan would utilize this to be the headquarters of the promulgation of lies about God. It's shocking. I mean, I've taught this for 25 years. And as the years have gone by, actually 30. As the years have gone by, I've seen it more clearly and more clearly. It never ceases to shock me of what has happened and how deceptive it is. That we have a system of worship with Jesus Christ's name attached to it. How deceptive is that? And Satan has commandeered it. Satan has built it. Satan has inspired it. And he has made it so beautiful and so attractive and so seemingly innocuous that no one suspects it. This is the ultimate stratagem. It's the ultimate deception. If you can get millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions of people to lose sight of the true stake, the true cross, and what it accomplished, and to turn to fables, then you've really done something. And if you can, it seems so unbelievable this could have happened. How could, I ask you this, how could the success of Jesus Christ, and this is the Son of God coming, God sending his own Son to take away the sin of the world. Obviously, he did. Obviously, he suffered. Obviously, Father, it is finished. No one could deny that it was done. And that in the fullness of times, as the scripture says, God will reconcile all to himself, all human beings, all celestial beings, everything. It's plain, it's obvious, except it's not. Because somehow that was turned into Jesus Christ tried to save the world, but he didn't. How is that possible? And how is it possible to get people to actually believe that? That the cross wasn't enough. And how can it be that Jesus Christ was announced as the last Adam, the one who would take away the curse of the first Adam? The first Adam who purposed by God to bring the entire race into the realm of sin and death so that they could be delivered out of the realm of sin and death. You can't save people unless you bring them into some kind of entrapment. You can't give them life unless you acquaint them with death. And of course, God brought us all, every one of us here, including myself, including everyone watching this video, he brought all of us into sin and death by the agency of a single man, Adam. And as Paul says in Romans 8, verse 20, the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly. Nobody volunteered for it. But God purposely did it so that he could get people in a fix, the whole race, people, the whole race into a fix so that he can deliver the whole race through Christ. Yet somehow, in the competing tabernacle, that truth has been turned into this. Well, you can get out of Adam, but you'll have to do it yourself. What do you mean? I have to do it myself. Well, the cross is an offer. The cross made it possible. The cross is a potentiality that wasn't finished. Now, wait a minute. How can "it is finished" be turned into "it's not finished"? How? How can "it is finished" so plain, "it is finished"? How can that be turned into "it's not finished"? And yet that's exactly what I hear in the Christian assembly. That's what you hear. It is not finished because the rest of it depends on your contribution. That is a lie. That is a satanic lie. And yet hundreds of millions believe it because Satan is the master of deception and he has built a religion. He has built a system that is agreeable to humans, that is beautiful to humans, that humans like because they get affirmation from one another. And as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says that in the last days, you know, people will want their hearing tickled and they will heap up teachers in accord with their own desires and they will be turned aside to myths. Eternal torment is a myth. Human free will, which states that it is not finished and you must finish it yourself by some miraculous act of will. And if you don't, you will be burned for eternity in spite of the fact that that man on the cross said it is finished. How is that even possible?